Our function in this class is to delve into the higher mysteries. You may find that less and less, we're not going to discuss any personal problems. We're not going to be concerned about the world not created by God. And that may be very difficult for some, but it has to come. There has to be a time when we're no longer saying, God, heal me of this and heal me of that. There has to come a time when we're no longer saying, God, you've withheld this from me and you've withheld that from me. There has to come a time of acceptance, not of seeking, but of acceptance. And this concerns the higher mysteries, the above universe, the universe right where the visible universe seems to appear. Today, it will be well if you can learn what makes an image. For you have one image called the world, and in it are many images, all part of the same image. And so we want to burst that bubble today, so that some of you who have been living in the mind universe, trying through the power of your mind to find some kind of peace, some kind of tranquility, some kind of solution, will discover that you've been living in the wrong universe and in the wrong body and in the wrong century, seeking in some way to improve God's perfect universe because you're unaware of it. We see Jesus on his feet, hands and knees, and he's washing the feet of Peter. Yes, the master seems to be washing the feet of a student. And this is drawing the curtain to the inner mystery of Christ within Peter. This is drawing the mystery into visibility by telling you and telling me that if you wish to walk in the universe of God instead of the kingdom that is this world, not of the Father, but of the sense mind, you too will have to wash your feet. Not only yours, but the feet of the world. You'll have to see that the Master is revealing the secret of his great work is not his personal ability, but his capacity to say, the only me here is the inner Christ. There is no human me. I wash the feet. That which walks upon this earth, I am dissolving in my consciousness. I am recognizing the inner Christ of Peter. And in so doing, the inner Christ of every man, woman, and child on this earth. And I, who seem to be the master, am but the servant of this inner Christ. Therefore, when thou seest me, thou seest the activity of the inner Christ, not of a man. And the inner Christ that I glorify as I walk this earth is the inner Christ of Peter, the inner Christ of Bill, the inner Christ of Mary, the inner Christ of everyone who walks this earth. And therefore it behooves Bill, it behooves Mary, it behooves Betty, it behooves Herb, it behooves every individual on the face of the earth to get on his hands and knees, which is the surrender of humanhood. Until, in that yielding of self, the invisible self is brought into activity in the visible experience world. mine own self, I can do nothing. And as long as I continue in the effort, I will fall into the image world. And while I am under the belief that I am loving God supremely, I am actually accusing God, condemning God, condemning God for the evil he leaves on the earth, accusing him even of creating it. Now you know that condemnation has by now become very small in your consciousness. You can see the thief without accusing him. You can see the corruption in government without accusing. You can see many facets of the imperfect human life without condemnation. And probably you pride yourself upon it. What we don't realize too often is that we are condemning God. We have risen to that level where we do not condemn our neighbor, but instead we condemn God. How? Take the Crusader. I don't mean back in the medieval times. I mean today's Crusader. For good. For improvements. How do we improve anything except by recognizing that which needs improvement? And therefore, what have we said? We have said there are two creations. God's creation, which we will accept as perfect, but there's also a creation that needs improvement. And so we are going to crusade for the improvements. And we're stuck with two creations. We've fallen into the trap of believing that God is aware of these things that need improvement in this earth and is doing nothing about it, so we're going to do it. Of course, we're in a human consciousness. We have fallen into the trap of human images. Most of you have never heard what I'd like to tell you. It's about this world of images and what makes it so. There's a process in photo engraving where you make a photograph of any object or person, and then, in order to reproduce that, let's say in a newspaper, you make a photograph of the photograph. And when you make a photograph of the photograph, you put a filter or a screen between the object or photograph you're going to photograph and your camera. And so now you get a new photograph of a photograph. This one is filtered or screened so that the photograph is broken down into all kinds of little dots. And then you photograph this onto metal. Then you put an emulsion on the metal, and then you put acid on the emulsion. And finally, you get these dots so they're raised up. And that's all that's raised up, the photograph of the original photograph, broken into dots, raised up. And then you put ink on the surface of these raised up dots, and you turn the metal over, and you print on a newspaper. You print those dots. And every time you pick up a newspaper and look at a face, you're not aware of it. You think that's Richard Nixon. That's Chew and Lai. That's John Mitchell. That's John Lindsay. And every time you look at these photographs in the paper, you're looking at nothing but little blobs of ink that are separated. They're really little dots. And in about one inch, there are maybe 3,600 to 4,000 little dots. That's really what you're looking at. Your eye doesn't know it. Your mind doesn't know it. You're looking at dots, but you think it's John Lindsay, Richard Nixon. And really, there's just as many dots to make a Richard Nixon as there is a John Lindsay. You can take the same dots and rearrange them and make a hippopotamus. you can make an elephant. If you rearrange the dots, you can make anything that is on this earth. You can make a battleship, spacecraft. In other words, your eye doesn't see the dots. But if you take just a normal magnifying glass and look at any photograph in the newspaper, that's what you're going to see. Hold it there just until, raise it up or down, until you see why it's only made of dots. And I thought it was a man's face. The face is the image formed by the dots. But all that is on that paper are little black dots, and they're all identical. Put a few more on one side and you get a cluster of them. A few less on another side and you get what seems to be a lighter tone. But they're all the same black dots. When I do this privately and give a magnifying glass to somebody and they look and see the dots, they're so much surprised that they hadn't noticed them with their naked eye. And that's how we all are, able for 50 years to read a newspaper and never know that we have never really seen a photograph. We have seen dots that appear to our human eye as faces and things. And then you can take this and go right to your television screen and you'll see it's the same process. On the television screen, you're looking at electric dots. Dots of electricity. But you cannot see the dots. And as the electric moves, you see the movement of the dots, but you don't know it's the movement of electrical dots. So you say the horse is running. It isn't running. There's no horse there. You're looking at electrical dots to simulate a horse running. No horse is going to run out of that screen. It's an image on the screen, and the method is electrical dots, so fine that no human eye can see them. And so you get the forms. Now you go to the motion picture house. There's a giant screen, and the same thing happens. Dots. They are still electrical dots. And you can have Cleopatra and her barge draw up. You can have the complete spectacle of Rome. And it's all made with electrical dots. Electrical dots that to the human eye appear as images called people doing things. Now these processes are human inventions. The Father does it much more subtly. When you come to the human scene, you find that the same process is going on around you. But now the dots are points of light, so fine that they have fooled the greatest religious and intellectual and scientific teachers of the world. Points of light. And you watch these points of light move, and you call them living forms. They are the very same process in a more sophisticated way, for he hangeth the earth on nothing. Now what you are looking and calling forms then are points of light moving. You're seeing the tree grow up, but you're not. You're seeing the slow motion of points of light below the level of your perception. You see the horse run on the track, but you're not. You see boys go out to war on battlefields, but you're looking at points of light. And when that cannon roars and a boy falls down and the blood pours, you're looking at points of light. You know you're not looking at God's creation, and there are not two creations. What are you looking at? You're looking at points of light in the cosmic mind. Wherever you look on this earth, that is all you will ever see. Points of light. You cannot find one thing on this earth made by God. Not one. And that is important. And however revolutionary it may seem to the human mind, it was a necessary step in the revelation of the allness of God, in the eternal life that comes into the experience of all who know God aright. Now, what you've been looking at and calling forms, people, things, places, conditions, are points of light in a cosmic telecast. And it has its purpose. And that purpose was explained to you in the Bible, but we walked by. In these points of light, you see the dying soldier. You see the accident on the freeway. You see the long inventory of disease and disaster not created by God. You're looking at the image world of the mind, and often accusing the father of putting it there. Why did you do this to my daughter? Why did you do this to my son? Why don't you change this and change that? But the father doesn't change this and change that, for the simple reason that the father does not see what you are seeing. The father does not look at points of light in motion, seeming to us as real conditions of a real world. The father is not dreaming. The father is awake. The dream of mortality is where we see these points of light. Fortunately, we have them. They have a grand purpose. You have thought that everything wrong in your life couldn't possibly be attributed to you. As a matter of fact, we discover that most of us are pretty good human beings. And then we say, well, if I've been so good, why have I been completely isolated from happiness, health, abundance, the things and joyful relationships that a child of God ought to have? Why am I besieged by this endless parade of things that I have to keep solving? When does the day of solving stop? When can I relax and say, at last, I've made it? And then suddenly there comes another problem. Out of nowhere. And it has a name. And yet, in spite of all, you've been reading your Bible. You've been listening to tapes. You've been as faithful as you know how and as dedicated. Some put in as many as 20 hours a day and still have things turn up that you would think after all this time and effort and dedication would be impossible. And that's why we go back to the story of the wheat and the tares. Nobody plants weeds. You've never planted any weeds. You certainly wouldn't do it intentionally. And neither did this man in the Bible. He planted wheat. But it wasn't long in season where there was wheat and tares. Wheat and weeds. Couldn't figure it out. He hadn't planted any tares. So he went to his friends and they told him, well, what really happened, of course, is that your neighbor down the way, who you had that argument with last month, he got even with you. While you were asleep, he planted the tares. And so asleep, this man got weeds in his farm. And asleep, we get problems in our consciousness. The tares planted while the farmer was asleep are the beliefs planted in you below the level of your conscious awareness, meaning in your sleep. You do not know what the world mind is broadcasting into you. You haven't the vaguest notion. How could you? You have a certain level of consciousness. If something comes in your unconscious, how can you be conscious of it? And so seeds are planted, seeds of belief. And the only time you become aware of them is when they grow up into form. And you can then look out and say, why did I get arthritis? Why did my business fail? Why did my marriage prove such a disaster? Why this, why that, why the other? You're only seeing these things on your screen of consciousness now as images. Broken homes, broken marriages, broken bodies. But they began in the unconscious level where the world mind planted in you a seed. And each seed planted in you must become a visible experience. That visible experience, you then give the label and say, this is what I've got. But you haven't got that at all. What has happened is that from the invisible of your consciousness, a seed you did not know was there has grown into a tree, and it is now dropping fruit. And that is in your visible world. The image world is where you have seen the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And that fruit is very untasty at times. And it grows because the seeds of belief in your consciousness are there unknown to you. You did not know they were coming in. You did not know that they were growing up. You did not know about them until you began to suffer. The cause did not begin in you. The cause began in the world mind. And so, a very intelligent, infinite mind has provided you with a screen, a television screen called the world. And from the invisible of your consciousness, you automatically project the quality of your consciousness. You project into the world of images the fabric of your own consciousness. And when you label it this or that, you're really saying, this is the nature of my invisible consciousness. Because be sure of this, it isn't someone else's consciousness appearing on your screen. The problems you manifest are nothing more than your consciousness turned inside out like a reversible raincoat, from the invisible to the visible. That's what this world is all about, a place where you can project your consciousness. And then looking at the world of images, you can go back to your consciousness, which is the land in which the wheat and the tares are growing side by side, in duality. And finally, you come to the realization that there is no thing in this world which does not begin first in an invisible world. There's no child in this world that doesn't first begin in the invisible. No tree, no seed, no fruit, no flower, no animal, no animal, vegetable, mineral, or human begins in the visible. They begin in the invisible. And everything in this visible has a beginning in the invisible. That's what we all have in common. And therefore, if we were to live only in the visible, we would continue in the world of effect, never going into the cause of things, which is the invisible. And what is the cause of this imaged world that you live in? Your world is your consciousness. My world is my consciousness. And whoever is in this world is really in their own consciousness made visible. And so this is where the effects are in the world. That's the television screen where we can pick up what's right or wrong in our life. And now we go back into the invisible, into our consciousness. Because there we're going to find what's happening to make our visible world of good and evil. It is there where we're going to determine a way of dominion over the outer world of experience. Now we look at our consciousness and we see that it's subject to two forces. We're no longer dealing in the world of problems. Because if you meet a problem in the effect world of problems, you're never going to get to the cause of it, which is in your consciousness. And so you're in the invisible of your consciousness, and you discover that your consciousness has been fed by the wrong life stream, by the world mind. And that has brought forth the first birth, you, the image you. Your consciousness has brought forth the image you have called yourself. And your consciousness, which brought forth this image, has not been able to see reality directly. Because between your consciousness and reality, between your consciousness and the divine, there is the world mind, the glass darkly. And you're looking at the divine through the glass darkly of the world mind. And just like that photo engraving process I told you about, you're trying to make a photograph of the divine with your human consciousness. And there's a filter or a screen between your human consciousness and the divine, and so you break the divine down into little dots of light. And then your consciousness projects these dots of light into the world as the image called you. These little dots of light, you know by now, are the atoms identified by science. Little dots of light. Little whirls of electrical energy so placed together that they look exactly like you. And you call those little whirls of atoms you, not knowing that is the image cast forth onto the screen of time and space by your consciousness. And that it is your consciousness where you must live, and you must learn to tune out that world mind which is between you and the divine, to let not the dots, not the filtered light come through, but the direct divine light of the Father. And there's a way to do it. And the way is the only way that is prescribed by those who have done it. You'll find that when your mind, your consciousness, has developed the capacity to be a vacuum, that it no longer receives the filtered light of the world mind. It is closed to the filtered light of the world mind, and it becomes a clear plate of glass, crystal clear glass. And just as Jesus walked through a wall that was only there to the human consciousness, the divine walks through the world mind and through the clear crystal glass of your consciousness, bypassing the activity of that world mind which breaks things up into little atoms coming through the crystal clear glass of your consciousness, which has been purified of thought. And that divine light is no longer separated atoms, no longer separated dots of light, but is the fullness of the Father, the wholeness of the Father, not little points of separation. And all that was missing out here in the image form, in the world of this human experience, was nothing more than gaps of light, which the divine now brings through. You become a living embryo in the womb of the Father. That new spiritual womb of silence is really no different than the womb you inhabited as an embryo before you became an imaged human self. We really duplicate that condition. No mother has consciously fed the child in her womb. No embryo in the womb has consciously said to the mother, "Feed me." It's an automatic process. It happens. And when you have found the crystal clear consciousness of silence, the vacuum of no thought, when you have been able to put away the 1,001 human concepts that cram the brain, when you have been able to accept truth, divine truth, and have reached that place where the mind is at peace, then you are like the embryo. You are no longer saying to the Father, "Give me. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is my will, that you fulfill my will here." But rather, you are resting in the womb of infinity with trust. Wanting nothing, needing nothing, seeking nothing, just like a child in the mother's womb. That spiritual embryo is the method in which you defeat the world mind. As long as you have a thought, an idea, a plan, a scheme, a will, a belief, or an acceptance of anything in this world that you consider real, you're not ready for that womb. You still have house cleaning to do. To be a womb in the Father's, to be an embryo in the womb of the Father, you must be the pure at heart, willing to seek nothing of good and nothing of evil in the dream of mortality. For the Father is source, and the source is pure, and that pure being, which is the Father, is the essence of your being. And you must be fed by the essence of your being, not something else. You rest in the conscious awareness that the pure being called Father is here as my life. And I even past the point then of saying, "Speak, Father, thy son heareth." But rather, there is no you to say that. You go past that point, and you see the real meaning of what Samuel said. He had so purified himself that there was no Samuel there. And then the Christ within Samuel said to the Father, "Speak, Father, thy son heareth." When you hear the words within you, it is Christ saying this to the Father, who is greater than I. These words are the sign that you have stripped yourself of the dream. Not that you have said them humanly, but that they have been said within you by the Christ to the Father. And now the revelation of oneness takes place. In your silence, of humanhood. There's no place for world mind to go. You are not a receiver for the world mind. It can plant no tares in your consciousness. It can plant no seeds in you that will become tomorrow's problems. You are still. And now the essence of being, not broken into little dots of light, flows through your stillness. And the father feeds the son as the mother feeds the child in her womb. This is soul feeding. I am the bread. And the real substance that feeds you as a spiritual embryo is the essence of God. The substance of God, the will of God, the power of God, the love of God, all become your hidden manna, your meat the world knows not of. You are fed by the divine. There's nothing more to do. The feeding takes place. And now this is what you image forth into the world. As a better body, a better mind, a better life, a better demonstration. You are glorifying the Father. You are not saying to your mother, feed me this way or that way. Here's what I prefer. You're saying to the Father, let me have your food. I'm silent to the food of the world. And the food of the Father is his own being. All that I have. The very life of the Father flows through you. And so essence flows through your purified consciousness and becomes imaged form. The outer form then is manifesting the qualities of the new substance. And the new substance is pure wheat. It isn't divided. It isn't good and evil. Now, the purification which enables Christ in you to say to the Father, speak, Father, thy Son heareth, is the working in the invisible, in your consciousness, to consciously turn it away from the duality of the world mind. In other words, you tune in by tuning out of the world mind. You tune out of the world mind to tune in for your divine feeding. The you of you is forgotten in the image world. That's going to be the result of how well you're fed in the inner. And if you've learned your lessons properly, you don't let that outer image self tempt you to fulfill its ambitions, its will, its needs. You are out of the imaged world. You are working on the level of consciousness. Now, this is the meaning of washing the feet. I, who stand before you, washing your feet, Peter, I am showing you that within you is a consciousness which is pure. And it is the actual life of God. And I am serving that life of God in you and in myself and in everyone I meet. Letting that life live itself through my conscious awareness of its presence. Keeping my consciousness on that life. Not on duality. Not on a denial of the presence of that life, but rather on the presence of that life. Now, some of you have been involved in worldwide movements to do good in this world and have thought that you are really doing good but you haven't known that you are working in the creation that is not the creation of God. What can you find in a divine creation that needs improvement? You've been working in a world of images. You've been working in the world that is not your Father's kingdom. And even when you succeed in it, all you can do is change an image in the world that is not your Father's kingdom to a better image. And it is still not your Father's kingdom when it is a better image. Whereas the way of the Father is there a place now where I am not? Why not purify your consciousness of the belief that there's a place somewhere where I am not? Instead of trying to correct a world of images. The world of images isn't to teach you that it needs correction. It's to teach you how to purify your consciousness of the belief that you're not in the kingdom of God. As long as in the world of images you see something wrong, you are not accepting in your inner consciousness that this is the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of the world of images. As long as you can see imperfection out there, you must face it with the knowledge that it wasn't created by God. And if you still think it's real, you have invented a second creator. Who could put the imperfection there if there's no other creator? Who could take God's perfect creation and make it imperfect? And so as long as you're still improving things, you've missed the point. The things that you want to improve don't need improvement. The consciousness that put them out there needs improvement. And that doesn't mean somebody else's consciousness. That means yours. Because the things you see out there are your consciousness made visible. Whoever else sees them, that is their consciousness made visible. Our function is to purify our consciousness so that we become aware of God's kingdom here on earth. And to clarify the picture then, you have a perfect divine creation here and now, and there is no other. You have a perfect divine being, an infinite being, not divided into little finite beings. And that infinite being is the life that we call God. And that is the only life there is. While you're dwelling in the inner consciousness to tune out the world mind, you must tune out the belief that there's another life here beside the life of God. Where would it be if God is infinite? If this house that we're sitting in now were infinite, could you ever be in another one? If God is infinite, can you ever be outside of infinity? If you're always in infinity and God is life, you're in infinite life. Where does it divide? Where does this infinite divine life become anything other than what it is? And so we come out into the imaged world, and we see 4 billion forms instead of knowing the one life. We are talking now in words, and you are hearing these words. And it is your belief that you're hearing them from someone sitting up on a podium in front of you. I'd like you to realize that isn't what's happening. You're hearing them inside your own self right now, just as I am hearing them inside myself right now. That's where you're hearing them. We're both hearing at the same fountain, although it appears that someone outside of yourself is talking to you. Every experience in your life is an experience within yourself that appears to be an external one. You cannot have an external experience. There is no such experience. Every such experience is a false belief. Whatever you see in yourself and think you're seeing it out there. Whatever you taste within yourself and think you're tasting it out there. Your complete experience is within. It appears without, because it's simultaneous. You can't catch it, but that's how it's happening. Usually, mortal mind in you is talking to or hearing mortal mind in someone else, or divine mind in you is hearing divine mind in someone else, or a mixture, a shadow of divine mind. Always your experience is within and your thinking it's without. And so I want you to do this. Take an individual in the outer world and see if you can catch this idea that that individual that you think is out there is within yourself. Within yourself, just like a little TV screen within yourself. And see that individual within you on a little TV screen. And now let that person talk, and what's happening? They're talking within you on a little TV screen. No matter what they say or do, that's within you on a little TV screen. And if you saw the same person on TV, and they complain to you about a problem, you would look at the TV and say, why, that's just an image on a TV screen. That's precisely what this world of images is. Every image is on the inner TV screen of your brain, which you think is out there. Now, those of you who can dwell with this a while will begin to get the idea that your dominion and your purification of consciousness is to see that every evil in the world is nothing more than a little TV screen inside your consciousness that is broadcasting a lie, an untruth, and made you believe it was external when it couldn't possibly be in the creation of God. When you reduce the images of the world into this little TV screen, you will find the whole world is on this little TV screen. And you will find if you don't let it get off the TV screen, what can keep your consciousness knowing it's only on an inner TV screen, it can't be real out there, because God didn't make it. If you can never let it get off that TV screen, you'll find you're beginning to feel the message of dominion. And I don't care what you have out there in the world. If you won't let it get off this little TV screen inside, you'll have caught part of what the Master was teaching all the time. To the man on the cross, standing beside him, about to be crucified like himself, I will take thee today into paradise. To the bondservant of the centurion, go thy way, he liveth. Why? All that was in the inner little TV screen, the lie about the Father. The allness of God is the rule, the law, the fact. Where is there a thief then on a cross? In this little TV screen of the mind. Catch it at that level. Don't fight it out there, it isn't necessary. Don't fight Pilate out there. It isn't necessary. Catch it inside, because it's coming through there at the same time as you see it outside. Everything has to come through your consciousness before it can appear out there to your consciousness. And you catch it at the level of its happening in consciousness, you'll see the nothingness of it. All evil in the world is in the human consciousness. That's the only place it is. It isn't in the world, it's in the human consciousness. There is no world. There is only the kingdom of God. Now, what we're at today, at this moment, is something that comes only from years of dwelling with it, until suddenly it announces itself to you. And you possibly may have sensed something along these lines at one time or another, but you'll discover your dominion is to be able to look at this world and everything in it, bring it right back to this little television screen inside your consciousness, maybe 1 inch big if you want to visualize it, just a little 1-inch screen, and whatever it's complaining about, it's nothing but a little TV broadcast coming from the world mind. That's the place to say sorry. The Father didn't bring you into this world. Is this of God, or is this the world mind? It's not of God, you know, if it's evil. Where is it? Who created it? No one. It's just a television broadcast, and if you leave it on, it's going to project itself. It's going to demand attention. Now, in the purification of your consciousness, then, you're saying to these broadcasts from within, which have appeared to you as images in the world without, get thee behind me. God is a pure being. God is the essence. Is there another essence? Is there another source? Can anything formed of that essence be less than the same essence? How can you dilute the essence of God? You can't. How can you change it? You can't. How can you pollute it? You can't. How can you poison it? You can't. How can you kill it? You can't. How can you give it a disease? You can't. Then what are you giving these things to? To nothing. To nothing whatsoever. The essence of God is omnipresent. You simply have been fooled by a world broadcast within yourself which makes you think it's out there. And don't think for a minute that I'm trying to build a picture as a sort of a comparison or an allegory or a symbolism. I mean it factually. What isn't created by God cannot be out there. And by reducing it to a little broadcast within yourself, you'll find you can throttle it. At the level of conscious acceptance or conscious rejection, you can throttle it and turn your mind, your consciousness, to the presence of God. And watch how that little fellow inside begins broadcasting the truth. Every world image, regardless of its name, is an inner telecast that you are receiving, which seems to be out there. We're all wired to the same world mind, and we all receive it almost simultaneously. It's no different than 6 billion TV sets. In your home, you get it. In someone else's home, they get the same thing. Here, you're getting it right inside yourself at the same time as they're getting it inside themselves. And that's what makes everyone see it more or less the same. Don't meet it out there any more than you would go to a television set in your home and smash it because you didn't like the face of somebody on it. You wouldn't heal anything on a TV set screen. Get it right here at the level of TV and see the nothingness of it. That's all it is. The Bible calls it the arm of flesh. Christian Science calls it mortal mind. Others will call it universal mind. Others will call it Maya. Some will call it hypnotism. mesmerism. But the nature of it is that it mesmerizes you by appearing to be out there when it isn't. And why does it come through you? Because you have also accepted the image of you as a reality. Instead of knowing that you are a living soul. Now in our rebirth, out of this image, we're not going to throw the image away. It's very useful. But we are going to live in the consciousness of the presence of God. So that in our soul feeding, we are one with the One. That the One essence can flow into form instead of the duality of a world mind. So that we're not divided from the essence, so that the substance forms us. The Father who is greater than I is the essence, and I am the form of that essence. And the form of that essence that I am is the infinite Christ. The substance of the Father flows as the infinite Christ. And you find your spiritual form, which is not little pieces of light held together by magnetism, which is independent of the images of the world, independent of the flood and the fire, independent of world conditions. Why? Because world conditions only occur in the image world, where the image form appears. And we must learn to walk through these images. Right through these images, by that consciousness which opens itself to the pure essence and lets the essence do the work. Now, how we're going to do that, how we're going to open our consciousness to the essence of being, to overcome the false dominion of the world and its two powers, is going to constitute all of our work. Real freedom will only come as we learn to look at the world of images, knowing what it is, so that we fear it not, so that its false powers mean nothing to us, so that we can consciously walk in oneness, in the acceptance that God is pure, and that purity, which is infinite, is the purity of my own being. That purity overflows and overflows and overflows throughout its kingdom as myself, my being. And I can live in my pure being, independent of the image world, which has been necessary to lift me and my consciousness above the level of duality. Those images, those wheats, those tares have been very important to me. They have helped me locate the unconscious belief I have entertained. I have seen those beliefs as images. Now I see them not as images, but as invisible beliefs. And now I can watch them and reject them and turn my consciousness to the Father. And rest in oneness. For 3 or 4 or 5 of these sessions, including the second half of this, we're going to be developing our conscious awareness of the presence of God. We have been given all of the weapons we need to do this. Nothing has been withheld. Let's have a little rest, quiet, and then we'll have a short intermission.